David tells us in the book of Psalms 130, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice, let thine ear be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord. More than they that watch for the morning, I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Jesus said in St. John chapter 10, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You know, Jesus, he literally confounded Israel so many multiplied times until Israel didn't know how to answer him. They didn't understand. They didn't know how to answer. Jesus here, speaking of this parable, he says to them, he said, He that climbeth up another way. Now, I like to emphasize that. A lot of times when I'm talking, or I like to magnify that in my mind a lot of times when I'm pondering and studying. The Bible says, he that climbeth up another way. Now, a lot of people say, well, there's just not but one way to get there, Brother Pike. Yes, there's another way. If there was not but one way to get there, then Lucifer would have never got into heaven. We could have never seen him as according to Revelation 12 where he's in heaven. He could never have gone before the Lord back in the Old Testament when he wanted to tempt Job. There's another way. You can get in another way. The way that you get in is through an intellectual program. People of today, I want to remind you again, are in heaven. They are in heaven. They've got in through an intellectual program. And they've broken into the understanding that was hid. They did it through Lucifer. Lucifer, the son of the morning. Lucifer, the one that caused all the problems in the garden. Lucifer. Lucifer, it was said of him, thou art wiser than Daniel. So then we know that there is a knowledge that has come from Lucifer that can get men in. Because Lucifer, the Bible said, has walked up and down among the stones of fire. He's been in that place to where those stones of fire are. And he was in the garden because the Bible said he was the most beautiful tree in the garden. Apparently the tree of knowledge, being Lucifer, was the most beautiful thing in that garden aside from the tree of life. And he has been the most outstanding thing since the creation of mankind aside from God. And he had the power and the knowledge to set up the system of this world, of the educational system, and of the great professors and of the great abilities and to bring about the great transformation of the different things of today. He had the power to do that. He is the prince over the powers that are in the air. And even though all of the understanding that he has comes from God, and all of the revelational approaches that he can take through the power of transformation, whereas the Bible said he has transformed himself into an angel of light and give his ministers the ability to transform themselves into ministers of light. And through all of that power, Satan has set up a great kingdom, a great world, a great empire. So there is another way that you can get up. But God said, someday, though thou climbest up to heaven, or maketh thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. And in that Lucifer has been there, he knows the way back to that extent. And he has, through programs and natural means of cultivation and years of practices of using up one generation after another, he has so feathered a nest till today he hath everything that heart could wish for. There is not anything that a human being could want but what they've got it. They've got everything. There's nothing missing at all. They've got everything. They've got everything from food to recreation. They've got everything from the desire of passions to conveniences. They've got everything that man could want, and there is nothing at all lacking. They've got medical care. They've got the sunshine and the stars and the birds. They've got the brooks and the oceans and the lakes. They've got the fruits. They've got everything. And like Einstein said when he was getting ready to die, I understand he made the statement. He said, I've learned about everything that man can learn. He said, I know about all of it. He said, but one thing that I haven't been able to get a hold of, and that's what's over on the other side. See, a man has an intuition. He has an innermost something that tells him that there is something on the other side. Because God has fashioned all men's hearts alike. And that is to have a knowledge of God to the extent that they know that he is their creator. And he said, I've never been able to get over on the other side. So he said, when I go to die, what I would like for you to do is stay in touch with me till I get right down to the crossing. And then just before I cross over, or as I go to cross, I'm going to take a look at the other side. And then you bring me back. Then he felt like he could put it all together. But as you know, and I know, that when he got down to that place, though they said he did stay in touch with them right on down to the end as to what he understood, but they couldn't bring him back. See, the detriment of his life and the bad thing of his life was he was not able to see on the other side. For the Bible said, the wicked shall not see when good cometh. And the other side is good. And the wicked are not able to see the other side. They're not able to approach under the great wonderfulness of God. See, because there is a world that is made for this people that live in it. And there is a world that is made for another people to live in it. And there was a world in the past that was made for another people. Now, when I think of the world of the past, I think of a people back there that lived in that world.
You say, what kind of world?
The past world.
When I think of the future, I think of the people that's going to live in that world. And you say, what world?
The future world.
And then when I think of right now, I think of the people that live in this world, and you say, what world?
The present world.
Now, there's a whole lot more to it than that. Scientists will, if Jesus tarries, build a city under the water. And I made the statement, I said, they will build a city in the air. They will do it. And I understand yesterday, a day before yesterday, that the astronauts, when they went up this time, they said there's a new highway now, and said we can build the city. We can build the city. So then a launching pad out there floating around in space. Someday you'll be able to go from here to there if Jesus tarries, land right in that floating world out there, eat and drink, and enjoy the nest in heaven. You'll be able to go down into the depths of the sea, go right in, get out in that city, and enjoy that city. But all of these cities have nothing to do with the city that I am going to be partakers of. Though the 1, 2, 3 is symbolic in that Jesus went into the heart of the earth and he did set up a kingdom there. And he ascended to the highest place in heaven. And he did set up his kingdom there. And it's evident that all three of them must come together and be linked together to where they will be that great one, eternal, everlasting, never to be destroyed era that is to come in after the millennium. So when we think of these things and we think of Jesus, the wonderful things of God, I'm reminded when the Jews came to Jesus back there just before Calvary, and they said to the Lord, they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Christ from within answered them. And Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. And the Jews were confounded because they looked for the Messiah. And the great men of that day, the Bible scholars, they were excited. They said that time is here. According to our calculation, being the scientists of the day, they said, according to our calculation, Messiah should be coming. Star appeared in the heaven. Everything was just right. And they said the Messiah should be coming. He should be on the scene. And as this great, wonderful thing began to take place, and they saw the great phenomenons that Jesus brought about during his ministry, they said, surely this must be the Messiah. And so they went to him and they said, are you the Messiah? And they couldn't get him to explain to where they could understand. And he would confound them by speaking in parables. And they would say, tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? Will you at this time bring our kingdom? Are you our king? Are you going to take us out from under the Roman powers? The evil things of today, are you going to do anything for us? And Jesus continued to confound them. And Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. And they didn't understand. They thought we are of this world. The people of today do the very same thing. The people of today feel like, well, we're of this world. We've got great education. We've got great potentiality. We've got everything that heart could wish for. All we need is God to rule over us and let us have our way and continue to do what we want to do. Why is it that God is so disagreeable? Where is he at? So they make their own God. While Moses is the way, as we say, trying to communicate with God, get the real understanding of God, and trying to save the people from destruction, caught away with God, Aaron's down in the valley, and they're making their own gods of gold and silver. And they've got millionaires, and they've got programs, and they've got sports, and they've got everything that heart could wish for. And they're building their empires greater and more mightier, and they're fortifying their way of life. But as it was with Moses, so shall it be with the people of today. When Moses come down out of that mountain, Moses had crossed over. He had went into the other world. He'd been there 80 days and 80 nights without food when he finally come down. But in between, God, seeing their foolishness, after 40 days, he came down out of the mountains. When he came down out of the mountains, he saw their foolishness. And he was so grieved that he called on God and the earth, just literally opened up and swallowed them up. He told the men in the final essence, said, put your sword on your side. And they slew thousands of people. And the destruction was grievous. And so it is today that God is about to break forth on the people. Hallelujah. Moses said to Aaron, when his sons went contrary to God and offered strange fire, said, Aaron, don't rend your garment. Don't weep for these wretched boys. Said, whatever you do, don't rend that garment. Said, God will break forth on the people. You're the only thing standing between God and the people. See, the type had to follow it. It had to follow. Jesus is the only thing standing between God and the people. Well, that is today the Holy Spirit likened unto Aaron, or Aaron likened unto it. But see, we see the Holy Spirit coming and answering back to Israel. That is Jesus saying, how can I be your king? I've come to you. Yes, I'm the Messiah. Yes, it's time for my coming. I come. I'm ready, but you're not ready. I'll have to go back away. I can't set up the kingdom because of your condition. And they killed him. And it was obvious that he wanted him to know. Because across the top they put Jesus, the King of the Jews. The priest said, don't do that. Said, put up there, he said that he was King of the Jews. But he said, no, what I've written, I've written. God prepared his heart. He was King of the Jews. And they had killed their king. So then Christ answered back. And Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. So see, I said that to bring this to your attention. Here was a people, and this people was pushing at the Messiah, and they were saying, let us in, let us in. Are you going to set up the kingdom? Are we going to have a great thing in this world? Like the professors and others try to lead you to believe. They say peace when the Bible said there won't be any peace. They said, we want the Messiah. They tried to make him king, and he broke away from them. And he said, you didn't follow me for the miracle. He said, you like the fishes and the loaves. I won't be your king. So he pulled away from them. They were interested in the convenience. They were interested in having plenty of groceries, as we say, and the common way of life. And they saw that he could supply them when he multiplied the fishes and the loaves. And they thought, all of our problems is over. Here is the man that can multiply the fishes and the loaves, and that's what we're interested in. But Jesus said, I'm not your king. I didn't come for that. I didn't come for that. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. I just did that to let you know that I have power over everything. They wanted to get in. They really wanted to get in. But you see, here was the problem. There was a great hindrance. There was a great problem. They had already had their chance. They had already had their kingdom back in the days of David. That was Israel. That was their kingdom. They had their great kingdom. They had their era. They had their time. They had their dispensation. See, and now there was a great change coming in. And now they were wanting to leave the age of Moses and their God in that God made Moses a god unto them. And they wanted to get into this next move, but they couldn't get in. The reason they couldn't get in, because they were a people of another world and another dimension. And they could not enter into that dimension. They could not excel the dimension that they were already in. There was no way. This is why Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. They couldn't get into this great dimension. But by the power of transformation, of being religious, Lucifer, transforming himself into an angel of light, brought them into a place that is really heaven. Through the grace of God and through the blood that was spilt, he slipped in another way. And they slipped in another way, and that was by Lucifer. And John in the book of Revelation sees him in heaven. But see, these people, these Jews, they couldn't get into that dimension. They were cut off. They were blinded. They left. They went another way. Their dimension was finished. Their age was over. Their mind and their tutoring according to the laws of Moses. They were bound by human circumstances and ritualistic practices of their own doings. Jesus said, not by the word of God, but by the tradition of the elders. Because this is an evolving thing. From the law comes something else, and from that something else. And the righteousness which is on the law comes from the law. But it's not fulfilled by human beings. The Bible said, by the law shall no flesh be justified. But as Christ came out of Jesus, it's a dimensional projecting. For as Christ came out of Jesus, so has the church evolved out of Christ, as we would say. And when we look back and see how Jesus evolved from God, as we would use the terms, in human day application. So we see an evolving transformation that takes place. And we see this great thing taking place. We realize the Jews couldn't get in. My kingdom's not of this world. So then their day was over, and there they were, cut off. But see, another world started. Peter said, that's the end of your world. Ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And your God, Moses was your God. They said, Moses, we don't know about you. We know God spoke to Moses. Whether he spoke to you, Jesus, we don't know about that. You seem to be a great prophet, but just let's leave it there, they said. And so then, they couldn't get in. But if you notice, a great spiritual thing happened. The church world set in. And the saints of God was translated into the kingdom of God. When the Jews couldn't go in, the saints went in. And ever since that time, the saints has been going through that open door, Jesus Christ. I'm the door to the sheepfold. If you climb up any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. I'm the door to the sheepfold, Jesus said, and all ever came before him is robbers. And so then the saints of God, by faith, like Enoch, begin to be translated. And here they are being translated into the marvelous kingdom of the living God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, to Enoch, to you, to me, to us all, not being under the law. Enoch was partakers, not requiring justification by the law at that time. He was justified by faith. Here we are, the law's folded up and laid away, and we're back in that era again of being justified by faith since the law's been fulfilled. There is no requirements from the law. That's how Satan got in. But we who was translated into the kingdom of God, we was translated by the inner spirit of the inner man into the marvelous kingdom of light. And it was an invisible thing. And the world has never yet seen it. They can't see it today, but yet it happened. When those people that was in that first world was cut off, Peter said, the end of the world. You're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And there it was, it ended. Something had taken place. And now here come a third dimensional projecting, in that God had to give it in a type. Peter had said the people before Noah, their world ended, and that world passed away. Then he said, here comes another era, and your world has ended, and that has passed away. And now the last world is setting in. And this is going to be a spiritual world. But God willing to break the last part, as we say, down into a half. We use the terms of running something to the second and third power. I can say to Noah, to Calvary, to the coming of the Lord. 1, 2, 3. And I can say three worlds. Or I can run it to a second power and I can say from the garden to Calvary. Rather than 2,000 years and 2,000 years and 2,000 years. From the garden to Noah to Calvary to the coming of the Lord. 2,000 years periodically. I can say 4,000 years all the way from the garden to Calvary. And a world passed away and the Jews went out of the presence of God. The Lord always dealt with them with the number 4. And then I can say that this brings in a second heaven. Because we've moved up. First, second, third power. See, and when I think about that, I look and another power comes in. Another move comes in. But we who are translated into the kingdom of God by the voice of that Christ that said, my kingdom is not of this world. We that are spiritual, we that have gone into that kingdom ever since Calvary. The Lord said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And God's kingdom is in the earth and men press their way into it. So then Lucifer took full advantage when grace came. And he took his people and he went into heaven. The Jews, having been in that first heaven with the presence of God with them, all of a sudden, because the blood was on the seat of atonement, now then here was the days of grace, and Lucifer took his people and took full advantage and went into heaven. And he has given the desires of their heart, in that God gave it into his hands to have. During the time of this great pilgrimage of developing the church, or allowed man to multiply and replenish the earth until the end of the church ages, God has given it into the hands of Lucifer. Lucifer made the statement that it was given into his hands to give to whomsoever he would. Jesus testified that he was not the prince of the world. He said, I am the prince of peace. Lucifer is the prince of the world. He's the one that hath the power. And he said, when Lucifer come to tempt him, Jesus said, that's all right, my hour hath not yet come. You know the song says, my day will come. Jesus said, this is the hour of darkness. Lucifer, you've got your power. You've got control. You're working through the intellectual darkness. It's not my hour yet. But Jesus did say that I am the light of the world. And he did go about like the old lamplighter. And he did light a lot of candles. And the Bible verifies it by saying the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. Any kind of lighting is candle power. So then, when we consider this, Lucifer took full advantage. And he has had his people in that dimension. Now that dimension, it's beginning to come to a close just as the first dimension did. And just as the Jews went away into darkness, gross darkness is to cover the people of the end time, which is an intellectual constraint of a great power of magnifying the knowledge of men and the ability of men through money and sports, through the reveling of the world and the different things, to magnify it till it's exceedingly great. But in the evening time it shall come to pass, there shall be light. The Bible said, great light is sprang up unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death, and the day spring from on high hath visited them. Now then, in this, all of a sudden we see a repeat of history. These people that have been gullible, these people that have used up their substance like the prodigal, these that have had their sporting time and wouldn't listen to God's way and God's word and God's minister, these that would not listen to the word, to get into the word, to conform to the word, to be interested in the word, to eat and drink the word, and to meditate in the word day and night, that they might be transformated by the renewing of their minds. These that have been more interested in eating and drinking and convenience, complaining and doing the natural things of the world and being natural minded, whereas the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. These that have looked to the other side of life and that have thought more highly of themselves than they ought to and haven't sought to find out who they are or what they are, they haven't proven anything, whereas the Bible said, prove your ability, your life, and what you've got, and then you can have rejoicing. But otherwise, you think more highly of yourself than you ought to, don't think soberly according to the measure of faith that's been dealt unto you, then you're in trouble. Give a man a little money, he feels greater than somebody else, when he might not be of even as good a quality as the man that doesn't have the money. Jesus was of the best quality, and he didn't have any money. People that dwelt in caves and dens many years ago, the prophets, had no money, but they were of the best quality. And many of them in the long robes that loved the salutations in the marketplace and liked to be called of men rabbi, they had no quality at all. But see, we've come to the end of another era. We've come to the end of another age, and what's happening? These people that have done these things, now they see their life diminishing and their health leaving, and they see all the joy and jubilance of all of these frolics fading out. There's nothing can make them happy anymore. And their food, they can't enjoy it. Their stomachs are full of ulcers. Their nerves have gone to pieces. They're having problems. The body is failing. The world around them is about to blow up. The fruits are contaminated. Everything is going to pieces. Everything spells death. The end of that world is near at hand. And Peter said, I saw that world also. I saw the first two and I saw this one. He said, I see that one out yonder that's coming in the future where the elements will be on fire. Even the atoms and the hydrogens of which they compose the bombs, said they will ignite. They'll go down to the minute, to the little ions and the betas. And they'll break into the treasures of the atomic powers and of the atmospheres of the earth. And in this, God said, if I did not stop them, knowing that Lucifer came from that world of brightness, and that he's leading them, that if I continued to give grace, there would be nothing hid from them. But already he's transformed himself into an angel of light. And that by the powers of grace, the intellectual stride of man is inconceivable. But I'll make them pay for their wrongs, and I'll cut them off. And I won't let them back into my presence, though I freely give knowledge and freely give grace and have to freely give it, so that I can say unto my children that you have an unction from the Holy One, that ye should know all things, even though God has to say unto us, the children of this world are wiser in their ways, or their generation, the Bible calls it, than the children of light, because they apply themselves. God said, I'll put a stop to it. But look at it. Right at this point, they want to go into our world now. They want to be religious now. They want to get into that other world now. They don't want to leave their frolics. They don't want to leave their treasures where their heart is. They don't want to do that, but they want to have that plus. They want their business and everything else. They don't want to give to God alone any time to God or honor God with any of their substance, as gullible as they can be, to the extent that Jesus called them swines that go back to the wallowing in the mire after that they've been washed by grace. But still, these people are wanting to go into this other world. But beloved friend, they can't do that. The Jews couldn't get in. They were cut off. They didn't have the mind for the next world. See, this world is not as it was with that mind of Egypt, farming, that mind of tilling the ground, that mind of eating and drinking of the earth and having their little primitive homes and way of life and their little flocks. That's why Israel today is still in the same primitive manner. Though there's been a lot of going in and out of brilliant men and whatever, yet though there's some difference, yet Israel remains primitive because their mind is to the inheritance of which they've been promised, and that is the earth. They were taught to be meek, that the meek might inherit the earth. And their promise was from their father Abraham that they would do it. That's why they're fighting over the land. They cannot excel beyond their mind. There is not one planet out in the universe that can escape its orbit. It is confined to its orbit. It must stay with its orbit. It cannot get loose from it. God has set the boundaries of the sea that it is governed and controlled by the moon. And it cannot go beyond there. The Bible said, "Herein is thy proud wave stayed." And they can't escape that. Seeing the people of this age in like manner, they are made as the Jews for another age. They are made, whereas the Jews for the past age, in the past world, and they are people of the past, and they still live in the past. These are people of the present, and they must remain with the presence, and they cannot go beyond that. They cannot go back into the past because they could not stand the primitive way of life. They must have the convenience of today, and the doctors and the dentists and all that this world requires, and all that they have acquired to their convenience. And they cannot go back to that world. See, neither can we stay in this world because we are not of this world. Jesus said, "I've chosen you out of this world, and I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring, of the restitution, or the millennium, that is, of all things." And so then we cannot stay in this world. This world is coming to an end. And those that have that mind to eat, to drink, to buy, to sell, to find fault, to gossip, to create division, to visit, to be with relatives, things in this world of laying up money and having treasures, those that have through this dispensational age, those that have developed their minds to frolic and to go out into the world, they don't have this mind of the power of transformation into that world. God allowed Lucifer to have the power of transformation, to get out of the world of darkness, to transform himself into an angel of light, to get into the world of light. But only by the power of grace can he or his ministers do it. Only by the power of the blood that's on the seat of atonement. That's why the moon will turn to blood. It's because Jesus is the moon rim. It's the middle rim between the Holy Ghost and the Father. And just as they did Jesus, so will God do their world. And the blood will come off of the seat of atonement. And the moon shall turn to blood, which has to do with fire. And the earth will likewise do the same thing. Because the fury of God will be released. They will be guilty of the blood of Jesus. And the blood will be upon their heads instead of upon the Jews. Now, see these people that have been eating and drinking and wouldn't listen. No time to fellowship the brethren or sit around and talk about spiritual things. No time to get together with the ladies, sisters with sisters, and no time to come to church. No time to sacrifice, no time to share, no time to be rebuked, no time to take reproof, no time to repent and say, I'm sorry, I'm foolish. Let the righteous David said, smite me that I might grow up in God, that I might see my foolishness. No time to do that. Besides, what's all that got to do with it? They told us in the churches that all we had to do was wait and the Lord's coming back from glory and He's going to pick us up because we are people that believe. We told people we was a Christian. We tell everybody that we're Christians. Now we don't act like Christians, which means Christ-like. First called in Antioch, being Christ-like. We don't act like Christians. We don't do like Christians. We don't do like Christ. We don't think like Christ. We don't desire like Christ. You don't find us praying and begging and crying and pleading. You don't find us constantly calling upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible said from the morning, the going forth of the sun unto the evening thereof, He will call upon my name. You don't find us meditating in His laws day and night. But everybody knows we are Christian. And the church understands. And God knows that we can't help it. We just have to have a little recreation. We have to have a little drink. And we have to have a cigarette to calm our nerves. Like a doctor said one time, a great doctor said one time, women that smoke cigarettes and say they calm their nerves. So that woman's not only in a place to where she's taking in the nicotine inside of her lungs that's going to make it gummy like a coal mine worker. I've heard Brother Taylor say the same thing being in an autopsy room. But so that woman is bordering on the border of being an idiot. So that's idiocy. Said a woman that talks like that said she doesn't realize it, but she's on the border of being an idiot. Said she's on the verge of her mind making her an idiot. That's a PhD and an SC and I don't know how many things. So if you've got any confidence in anything, you better have confidence in something. Well, I ain't got no confidence in the doctor. Well, you're in bad shape. Because if you ain't got no confidence in God, you sure enough in bad shape because you sure going to need the doctor. Well, the doctor can't do nothing for me. Oh, yes, he can cut your head off, your arm off, your leg off, cut your entrails out. Or he can give you a shot to where you can't feel the cancer while it eats you up. But now as far as healing, you can't do that. I agree with you. The Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicines. Doctors and no doctors, God's going to put a stop to that. That was God doing the healing, not the medicines. He was just working through that at this point. Just like He works through me to preach, or He works through you to build a house. Somebody said, well, I build a house, Brother Pike. No, you didn't do it. If you had a way to look at yourself in a coffin, after you lay down, you'll find out you won't be building no more houses. But it took God to do it. It took God to do it. See, God is life. When life is gone, you won't build no more houses. You won't paint no more houses. You won't do anything else. That'll be the end of you. You'll find out that God does all things and does it well. And He does it through the people that will allow Him to do it through. And He continues and will continue throughout eternity, even in the millennium. For 1,000 years, they'll plow fields and plant vineyards and milk cows and build houses, and God will go right on building houses, but you won't be there. That is you that are not saints. So then, as I say, we've come to another era. Now then, the gullible people of this world, as I say, they don't want to leave anything behind, but they want to go into the saved. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. So God turned them over to reprobate minds, sent them strong delusions. He caused them to believe a lie that they might be damned. Now the next age is here. And now we're starting into that great, wonderful, evolving, transformating process again. Whereas the church has been doing that all the time, generation to generation. But see, the last generation is coming forth now. And we're going into that wonderful thing of God. And going into it, that means that these other people cannot go. It is the end of the world. Somebody would say, well, that's good. Maybe you're a good guesser. Maybe it'll happen. There's no guessing about it. Peter said the end of the world. He wasn't guessing. He knew exactly what he was saying. Somebody said, you don't know when the end of the world's coming. Peter said the end of the world came on Noah. He said to them people, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. We most assuredly can know when it's nigh even at the door. That's pretty close. When somebody's at the door, it's close enough that you go open the door and let them in. You can hear them knocking. So then, folks, I said all of that to say this. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. There at that hour, there at Calvary. The Christ, that is. Now then, the Jesus is getting ready to go back to the Jews to restore the kingdom of Israel. But that is not their time of regime. They had their time of regime back in the days of David. This is that great third stepping stone, which is our regime as the church. For the first four was to the Jew, and this too has been to the Gentile. And this last one that's coming up is going to be to the church. It is not a natural Jew that's going to sit on that throne. For God said there's no such thing as a natural Jew. There's only a spiritual Jew. You say, Brother Pike, isn't that the nation of Israel? Isn't there going to be an Israelite to sit on that throne? It is, just as you feel. But there's one thing about it. Jesus was neither of the blood of the Israelite nation or any other nation. And the life is in the blood. Therefore, the life is very definitely not an Israelite life. It is the life of Almighty God that was in the beginning. This is what Paul tried to tell the Jews when they were so self-righteous. He said, you're ignorant, you don't understand, so there's no such thing with God. God don't have any special people. God has never had a special people. He still doesn't have a special people. There is only one that is special. God is without respect to person. He only used the Jews in one world and the Gentiles in another. Just like America today, they feel like they're special people. And the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Pentecostals. And they feel like we're special people. But I want you to know you're not special. You look on the rest of the world as dogs and you're being something special. But you're not special. You're going to find out like the Jews. So then there is a king that will reign in righteousness and he will sit upon that throne, even Christ himself. He will not be a natural Israelite. He will be a spiritual, glorified being, just as I will be, and you that are Christians will be. And he will be my head and my God, and I'll be part of his body. And them 12 apostles that will be sitting there We'll be celestial, glorified sons of God, not Jews, though they were born of a Jewish lineage. And they will judge the 12 tribes of Israel because of that. But Jesus will not be sitting there to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. He'll be sitting there to rule the world. Let me tell you, folks, this world is at an end. It's at an end. People have done all they can do and all they want to do and done everything that can be done in the finite. And they've lived it up. And scientists have broke it down as far as they can break it down. They've gone to the crossing and they can't get over. And the Red Sea is swallowing them up. It's swallowing them up. So then, we are people of another world. But see, the end of the world is here. It's here. Now these people are wanting to go over, so they're getting religious and they're singing and they're getting religious in their businesses and they've got full gospel businessmen. They got everything is religious. I made a statement years ago that we get like that. Everybody has got religion of some kind, if it ain't nothing but with the woodsmen of the world or the Masons. They're all religious. They've gone to their respective places of abode, and God has cut down everything and bound up the bundles of terrors. He's gathered them into their bundles of whatever they wanted to be, the associations and whatever. Now he's ready to gather the grain into the garners. He's ready to take it into the garners. And you let this dwell with you tonight. They that do not have the mind of Christ cannot have the faith of Christ, and they cannot translate into this new era, this future world. We cannot stay here because we are children of the future world. And we must depart. We must go our way. We must go to do our thing, as we say. And when God brings in this great and mighty millennium, we will bypass the tribulation and go to the city of New Jerusalem. See the greatness of that which those natural people will not see for another 1,000 years. And we will have access to the earth and the heaven because God is going to tie it all together. But after this third era of life or this third dimension or this third thing that God is bringing in of a perfect world and a perfect life, God is going to finish it up, refurbish, pick up everything that's become extinct, everything he ever created, restore it. It's going to be the greatest world of all. And it's going to be the third heaven that we've moved into. And the second heaven will be swallowed up. And Lucifer will be swallowed up. And then God will, after that millennium, that 1,000 years, come with the brightness of his own person. New Jerusalem coming down. And the entire earth will transformate, and all that he's ever restored or created will transformate, because once God's got it all replaced and back together, he will transform it into the celestial side of life, to where there will never be anything lost again, beloved friend. Never. It will be an endless celestial regime. Though there's much more that I'd like to say, I'm going to stop here because of you being hot like you are. Think it over. This is why that you hear Brother Pike say it may be too late now. A lot of times somebody said, we're still breathing. But that isn't the way it works, folks. The Jews were still breathing. See, it's a matter that if you didn't get that mind when I begged and pleaded with you, and you of all people here, like the man said, being spiritual giants, you've had an extra privilege to apply yourself. People like Brother Walden and others, their people begged him and longed for him to stay with them. But he didn't. You've had an extra treat from God. I want you to stand together. I hope that you will think this over. I would like to have enlarged upon it a lot more. But just trying to share a little bit along to where you can think it over and see your mistakes. You should have hoped me or somebody. You should have applied yourself here or somewhere. You should have made a contribution of your substance, time, endeavors, either here or somewhere, beloved friend. Because it's going to be shocking. Many of them that think they did, that think they have, is going to find out they did not, and they don't possess. Few there be that find it. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. And many shall be religious and try to go in and shall not be able. Once the master's risen up and shut to the door, they'll begin to knock on the outside, but it'll be too late. Saying, open unto us, but it'll be too late. The doors are closing. The great doors of the ark is beginning to swing to. It's been a big joke, hasn't it? But not with God and his people. It's been a hard road, hasn't it? Not with God and his people. It's been something to resent. It has been hard. It's been a travail for God's people. While the earth rejoices, he said, you travail. But after the child is born, there's no more anguish remembered. And then they that are outside are the ones that are punished. We are all together happy and rejoicing that the man-child has been born in our life. So when you find this great pearl of price, you will sell all that you've got. You won't have no reservation of heart. You won't want to save something for yourself or to do your thing. You won't have any room to grumble and mumble and fuss. You'll have all your time taken up with Christ. Let's sing this little chorus together. This meeting that we're fixing to have up in Charlotte, Lord been willing, has to do with the ingathering. A lot of things we can say about present day revelation concerning those things. Let's sing this chorus together. There's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. There's a stream that's flowing and it cleanses me from sin and shame in Jesus' name. There's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. The Jews had their day, their law, their rules, their God, their mind, their world. The Gentiles has had their God, even the papacy of Rome or Lucifer, that will be shown in the end time in his personification. He shall come to dwell with you, and ye shall all dwell together, and ye shall know who has been your God all this time. And now we have our God, even the Christ, that could not be manifested then, but has been with us all the time. And he likewise will be manifested in the end, and you'll be able to see him and know him too. If you love the Lord tonight, sing this with me, can you? If you really love Jesus. We sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And I wonder if we ever stop to think down in our hearts of what the Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I don't know how we can sing it, folks. It has to be by grace. Let's sing it together, can we? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. To me He is so wonderful. To me He is so wonderful. To me He is so wonderful, because He first loved me. I want you to bow your heads with me now. I appreciate your kind attention. Trust that what has been said might find its way into your heart, and that God might do something for you. I'm going to ask Brother Benny to come up here and close the service tonight. And while Benny's praying, ask yourself the question. Just say, my God, what have I done? Do I have the mind of resentment and fault-finding and jealousy and conniving and trying to figure it out, self-righteousness and feeling that I know and that I understood that I've got it, paying no attention to the preacher, not giving the earnest heed? Or have I been attentive and submissive in that the Bible said God giveth more grace to the humble? Have I listened carefully and tried to adjust, tried to get myself out of the way to the extent that I have received of God His wonderful sweetness and kindness? Have I been meditating in His laws day and night? Or has my mind been on eating and drinking and riding and buying and selling the things of the world and on passions? Reading of the magazines, watching of the TV, listening to the radio, playing cards, sitting around, recreational desire. What have I been doing? Reading the papers and the sports column, jogging. What have I been doing? Now's a good time, folks, to examine yourself and see if you be in the believing of the word. For the Bible said, if you be in the faith, the believing of the word, then you would have kept His word and done what He said. For faith is by what you do. It is shown by what you do. Call on the Lord.